Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force.
And I don't understand how you can say you're Bible believing and yet live a powerless life. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. That's almost schizophrenic.
In my prayer time, I was reading Lamentations 3, 22 through 25, and it says, "Great is God's stability and faithfulness."
Yeah.
And the Lord said to me, he said, that faithfulness is not just me being faithful in myself or what I'm going to do, but he said, that is a confidence or a faithfulness I have in you.
Yes.
A faithfulness in us.
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds like your teaching.
Yeah. And I think that's a great point, you know, that God, he has confidence in us that we can make it in Christ. We can become what he wants us to become. I mean, he sent us a genius to help us, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So he has confidence in the Holy Spirit. He has confidence in Christ. And he has confidence in each of us
that
maybe we don't yet even have for ourselves.
Yeah.
Now, here's your host, Dr. James F. Rowe.
Today, I have a special guest for you that is so gracious to come and join us today, Graham Cook. Graham Cook is a minister from Southampton, England, and I really feel honored to have him today. Today, I'm sitting right beside him. Praise the Lord. Hi, Graham.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, good. How's it going with you?
Yeah, very, very good. Yeah,
is this your hometown?
Yeah, it is now. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, beautiful out here.
Yeah, sunny California. It's a big change from England, you know. Weather-wise, anyway, and space-wise. Excellent.
You mean like rainy?
Well, we have real sunshine here. So in England, we get it 3 weeks a year. The whole country goes berserk, you know. But here, it's like brilliant. Love it. And the space, you know, from living on a small island with three other countries on it to coming to effectively a continent, it's massive. It's wonderful. I love it.
Yeah. This is an expansion for your ministry then.
Yeah. It's been something we've been working towards. You know, I got prophetic words in 1974.
Oh, man.
From four different people, four different continents, all saying the same thing, that one day I'd be living and working in America. In fact, that I would go to America to kill a religious dragon and wake a sleeping giant. So I'm really stoked. I'm excited to be here. I love this country.
Yeah, and that your excitement is infectious, you know. When we see you, you know, you laugh and you come out there in your bare feet and, you know, just what the Lord's given you, it just so excites me and the people that I know. And I would really consider it a real honor to be with you today.
Thank you.
One of the things you talk about is your relationship to the church and churches doing or not doing. Mm. What would you say the Lord is doing now that you're in America, in the church in America?
Well, I think the thing I like about America is that it's like every state is almost like a country in its own right. So the Lord isn't doing just one blanket thing across the whole country. I think he's doing like 20 or 30 different things up and down. But the main features to me seem to be about the restoration of the kingdom of God, as opposed to just the ministry of the church.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, the church is part of the kingdom. The kingdom is not necessarily part of the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the whole idea of the kingdom of God takes precedence and the church comes out of that. I think we're seeing a restoration of that truth that we had in Bible times with Jesus and with the apostles. I think, too, that we are rediscovering the radiant nature of who God is.
Mm.
You know, like, for me, he's the kindest person I've ever known.
Yes.
You know, so we're discovering what God is really, really, really like. And, of course, then we're discovering the fact that we're in Jesus, so what does that make us?
Yeah.
So you can't have a radiant idea of God and not begin to have a radiant idea of yourself. I mean, think about it this way, Jim. You know, if Christ is in you, one of his names is Wonderful, what does that make you? You know, you can't. It is a religious thing to say that Jesus is wonderful, but I'm rubbish. One, it's not true. Two, it's anti-biblical. Three, it's anti-Christ, anti-spiritual. And it's just not true. You know, if Christ is in us, then, and we're being made in his image, then we can't say that we're rubbish. We have to say, well, this is who I am, and this is who I'm becoming. So I think that whole restoration of a radiant idea of God, yourself, and therefore a radiant idea of the church. I love the church. I think it's a brilliant idea. We just need to make it on earth what God sees it like in heaven. So I think that's one of the things that's happening. I think another thing, too, is the whole idea of the great unanswered prayer of Jesus on is, you know, let it be on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah, amen.
And what does that sound like for the ordinary believer? And what it means to me is we have to start living from heaven to earth, not from earth to heaven. I'm interested in what does God think about this? What will God do about this? What's my engagement with the kingdom? What's my engagement with heaven? And if Jesus is in heaven ever interceding for me, I definitely want to know what he's praying, because I want to pray the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to have that engagement from heaven to earth.
Yeah, that, as he is, so are we on this earth.
Totally.
Like, wow, what a statement. How is he now?
It's huge. It's a huge statement. It's a life changer. It's a game changer.
It is. You know?
Totally. And so the whole idea of... you know, that we are in the presence of God already because of who Christ is in us. So what level of intimacy does God require of us in terms of our devotion to him? And what is our expectation of him in terms of his devotion to us? You know, I'm really interested in the presence of God, and I'm totally interested in the power of the kingdom, you know, signs and wonders and miracles. Mm-hmm. I'm fascinated with all that God wants to be for us, but all that he wants to do for us too. And I don't understand how you can say you're Bible believing and yet live a powerless life. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. That's almost schizophrenic.
In my prayer time, I was reading Lamentations 3:22 through 25, and it says, "Great is God's stability and faithfulness."
Yeah.
And the Lord said to me, he said, that faithfulness is not just me being faithful in myself or what I'm going to do, but he said, that is a confidence or a faithfulness I have in you.
Yes.
A faithfulness in us.
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds like your teaching.
Yeah. And I think that's a great point, you know, that God, he has confidence in us that we can make it in Christ. We can become what he wants us to become. I mean, he sent us a genius to help us, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So he has confidence in the Holy Spirit. He has confidence in Christ. And he has confidence in each of us
that
maybe we don't yet even have for ourselves.
Yeah, it's liberating to realize.
It really is.
Yeah, it's liberating. We are something to him.
Totally.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I love that scripture that says that Jesus was slain before the foundations of the world.
Yeah.
So think about that for a minute. You know, before Genesis 1:1, before the world was made, it was a done deal in heaven that Jesus would come and die for the sins of mankind who weren't even born at that point in time.
Yeah.
Now that's intentionality.
Yeah.
I mean, if you and I had been God and we knew it was going to go that wrong,
yeah,
we would have said, forget it. Let's just make another Jupiter. We wouldn't even have attempted it. But the Father wants the connection with us so strongly as Creator, as Father, as Lord, as Sovereign. He wants that connection so powerfully that it was a done deal in heaven before Genesis 1:1 was spoken. That absolutely staggers me. It's almost beyond our imagination to conceive that he could be that intentional.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And he brings that level of intentionality into every single thing that he does. He's nothing if not relentless.
I would say that our ears are not tuned. One of the things that you do is you're starting to tune our spiritual ears. Hey, listen to what this guy's saying. It's just different.
Yeah.
But you know what? Our ears perk up. They sort of just twitch right up.
Yeah.
Well, now, here you come from, we're the colonies, right? Couple of the colonies.
I think England's the colonies right now.
Oh, okay. And you look at the situation. Do you think that there's a revival going on? How would you... What is a revival?
Yeah.
Is there a revival going on here?
I think the three aspects of a move of God are, first of all, renewal, which is the renewal of our passion for Jesus. Then secondly, following on from that, is a revival, which is a revival of our compassion for the lost. And then those two things birth the third level, which is a reformation, which is when people say, you know, the people who turned the world upside down have come here also. It's a reformation like you saw with Luther, you know, like when a nation begins to change its laws, its government, and so on. So I think, you know, America was birthed in a reformation. You know, there'd been a renewal, there'd been, you know, people were coming here to really establish the rule of God, looking for a place to establish the rule of God. And America was birthed out of that reformational kind of relationship between the earth and heaven. But I think, you know, with revival, I think the landscape is changing. For revival, it's different now than in previous times. I think because if you study past revivals, and I know you're a researcher, if you study past revivals, they all happened in a visitation context. The difference today is that we're understanding that we're not in a place of visitation. We're actually, because we're in Christ, we're in a place of habitation. And what's happening is there's a habitation culture beginning to emerge in the church in America. because revival is a lifestyle, it's not an event.
Okay, it's...
You know, if you look at the great revivals, they all threw up this kind of superstar ministry, who really, to be honest, probably at the time didn't see themselves as a revivalist. It's only history that connects them with that title. But really, they were like Gulliver in Lilliput.
Okay.
They were a giant amongst pygmies. They were people who really wanted to go after something in God, and all heaven followed them because they went for something. What we're seeing today is we're seeing a different kind of revivalist fathers emerging who are giving permission for people to grow up in Christ. They're creating training at schools to develop people into champions. They're teaching people how to pray for the sick and how to cast out devils and how to do signs and wonders and believe for miracles and be pursuing the presence of God and the power that goes with it, not pursuing the power and the presence that goes with it, but the other way around.
Say that again.
So we're producing people who are pursuing the presence of God and the power that goes with that. Okay. Whereas in times past, people have pursued the power of God, but not necessarily the presence of God that goes with it. So in those situations, then you get into doing before you've really got into being, and your character's not being fully formed, and you end up being taken out by your own gift. Because your own integrity, your own morality, your own righteousness hasn't grown to a level that's commensurate with your gift, which is a disaster almost waiting to happen.
Well, God wants the man before the ministry. He's interested in you, and we think he's interested in our ministry.
Yeah.
And this is very personal. Yeah. It's the man first, the man
always,
and woman
everything
first.
God does is relational. Every single thing is every single circumstance and event in our life is about one thing and one thing only. It's about our relationship with God. Therefore, every situation is not about resolving an issue. It's about increasing our relationship with God, and the issue gets resolved in the context of that. Everything God does is relational. When you ignore the relational thing, then you're stepping out of an alignment that God has created for you, and you're in a no-man's land, you know? But I really believe the revival, I believe the revival is touching down in all kinds of places. But what you're seeing is an army of ordinary people being raised up. We're seeing a nameless, faceless generation being trained, having a passion for Jesus, compassion for the lost, and really moving out in relationship with God and in substance in terms of faith and power.
And God is not just using big names.
Exactly.
He spoke to me one morning when I was preaching, in a cloud. He said, you know this name and you know this name. And I was preaching, and he was talking to me about something different.
Yeah.
I said to him, yes, but I'm still talking to the people. I said, yes, I know that name. He said, well, I'm going to use people, no name.
Exactly.
No name I'm going to use.
Exactly. So the revival centers are starting to emerge. They're really based on a culture of habitation. They're based on relationships. They're based upon the training and development of the body of Christ into its rightful place in the Holy Spirit and in the kingdom. And so you're seeing a much wider diversity of ordinary people just in life praying for the sick where they meet them. And that's a fascinating thing.
They might not even know they're in ministry. You know, they don't know it.
Well, it's life in the Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, it's life.
Okay, you said culture of habitation. Mm. Can you explain that? I don't understand that.
It's where if Christ is in you, he inhabits you. The key New Testament discipline, Jim, is abiding. Jesus said, my Father and I will come and we will make our abode with you. We will abide with you and you learn to abide with us. Yeah? So the key New Testament discipline is abiding. And that's a habitational thing. My difficulty a lot of the time with churches that I travel to is that you see these people have an Old Testament mindset in a New Testament culture. So the Bible says that we are in Christ, we are a new creation. The old has passed away. What does that really mean? It says in Corinthians about Jesus that the first Adam was a life-giving soul. The second Adam, Jesus, was a quickening spirit. Yeah? So here you have, up until the cross, you have one creation of people who could have God come upon them for things. Now, after the cross, post-resurrection, now you have a completely different race of people who have God living in them.
Yes.
That's never happened before.
Yes.
So we're a new creation. All the old things, therefore, have passed away.
Yep.
Everything has become new. The New Testament, that's the distinction between the New Covenant and the old.
Right.
In the old covenant, it was a visitation culture. In the New Testament, it's a habitation culture.
Good, I got that.
You know? Yeah. So we're a new creation. We're a race of people that's never been seen in the earth before.
Never existed before.
Never existed before Christ, because nobody had the Spirit of God in them. They had the Spirit of God on them. That's the difference. That's why we're a habitation. So now we have to talk about the presence of God differently. I have the presence of God because he's in me. That's why he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Because he's with us. He's in us. Yeah? So now, therefore, what we're doing is we're pressing out that personal relationship into the corporate man of the church. And we're saying the presence of God is with us. What we need to do is pay attention so we can host the presence of God properly. And that,
yes,
for me, that's a revival culture right there.
Okay.
Yeah? Not asking God to come to meetings.
Yeah.
But expecting him to be with us in life in all its forms.
So revival, that is, it's a process.
Mm-hmm.
Things are happening. It's not the meeting. It's not that great speaker, the good music. It's a process that's happening to
us. It's the lifestyle of the community that creates a revival that will remain. All other revivals have tailed off and died.
Yes, they have.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But this is a revival culture. If it's based on habitation, it will remain. It will abide with us. Because abiding is our culture, yeah?
I don't know if you know Jamie Galloway, but he preaches that, you know, we are the bride of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The bride, and he said that the bride of Christ is going to come out of the church. He didn't say the church was the bride of Christ.
Yeah.
Did you catch that? The church, the bride of Christ is going to come out of the church. Is that something to do with that revival?
Well, I think it's all part of it. You know, God is looking for a people on whose behalf he can show himself strong. But here's the thing. He's not looking for ministries. He's looking for worshipers. He's looking for people who will live in his presence and in reverent awe of who he is. The early church, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe.
Yeah.
Because they had a habitation culture. The presence of God was there. And they worshipped the presence. They lived in the presence. They remained in the presence. Every decision they took was because they were in the presence, you know. So they were a habitation culture. That's what was different about them. They didn't go to church to have a meeting. They were the church gathering to celebrate the presence of God that was amongst them. So I like that. I like that. I think that's a...
The Lord spoke to me about the early church, and he said something like, first people that witnessed what went on, they were really passionate, and you would say, I was there, I saw it.
Yeah.
The second generation says, my uncle was there, and he saw it.
Yeah.
But the Lord is always kind and gracious, because sometimes they get so excited the church lost their, you know, their power, their love, their passion. They got tangled with the world politics and on. But the Lord is always kind, and the people that first witnessed it had the most power, because he said, I saw it.
Yeah. I think the problem there is with second and third generation is that they don't carry on the tradition of living in the presence of God. So they don't have their own stories. And what's different in the culture today that's arising around America in this habitation culture is people are having their own stories, because it's your testimony that gives you power. Because your testimony says, if God did it for me, he can do it for you, so I can pray for you. Yeah. So a testimony gives creates an opportunity for the power to be passed on, for the encounter to be multiplied, for the experience to be given to somebody else. So then everyone has a testimony. And I think when you lose the sense of the presence of God, you lose that testimony of immediacy in terms of the kingdom and the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, so... And people stop living in the favor of God. They stop living in the reality of who God is for them. And then we're just doing church.
Well, you brought up the word testimony, and you were saying that people, their testimony sometimes is their history. Mm. All they talk about the past, but their testimony is what God says about them now and what he's doing now.
Totally.
Can you say a moment on that? Give us something on that.
Yeah.
We're not in line.
Well, I think, you know, I think people... A lot of people live what I would call present past. That means that they allow things from their past to affect them in their present. Yeah. But the cross does away with the past. Yeah. He that is dead is free. Yeah. So the cross sets you up actually to live from the present to the future. Yeah. So present, future people, this is who I am now and this is who I'm becoming. Yeah, so the antidote to your past is not your present being sorted out, it's your future being determined. So once you know what's coming at you in your future and you start pressing into that, Paul said in Philippians 4, he said, I press in for the prize of the high calling, forgetting what is behind, I press forward to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That, to me, there is present past is no longer us. We're present future. I like who I am right now. I like what God is doing with me. I like who I'm becoming next. I'm moving in that direction.
You know? That's a testimony.
That's a testimony. This is who I am now, and this is what God is doing with me. You know, and we can say, and this is what God has set me free from. You know, but I'm no longer that person. This is who I am now, and this is who I'm learning to become. It's a progression. It's a process.
Now, we talk a lot about fivefold ministry. Somebody gets up and they say, no, I've been gifted in all the fivefold ministry and such. But what is this fivefold ministry? I can read Ephesians and such, but help me on this. What's your view on that?
Well, I think the fivefold ministries, they're all a fathering gift. They're all a certain aspect of fathering. But I think a lot of people look at the fivefold ministries and they see them as titles and positions. And they're not. They're job descriptions. You know, so if you want the real titles, the real spiritual definitions in the New Testament, there's three levels. There's servant of the Lord, steward of his grace, and bondslave. So if you read the opening of every epistle, every apostle, whether it was Paul, James, John, Peter, they all said this, I, Paul, or James, or John, bondslave of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. But bondslave was their real designation. Remember the story in Acts 16? The slave girl with the spirit of divination following after Paul and Silas?
Mm-hmm.
She did not say, these men are apostles of the Most High God who are declaring to you the way of salvation. What she said was, these men are bondslaves who are declaring to you the way of salvation. Because the enemy is not really worried if you're an apostle or what, especially if you're having it to yourself as a title. I mean, he's pleased with that. But the one person he's scared of most in the spirit realm is a bond slave. Because a bond slave doesn't want anything. They can't be corrupted. They're not after anything. They're not after money. They're not after status. They're not after position. They just want to be sold out to Jesus. So he can't buy them off. He can't bribe them. He can't corrupt them in any way. That's scary to him.
That's scary.
That is scary. So, wow. But I think the fivefold ministries, they are consultants to empower the church to grow up in all things in Christ. You know, so I think I would say probably right now in terms of all those levels of ministry, we probably have more false fivefold people than real. Mm-hmm. Not false in the sense of demonic or corrupt.
No.
Mostly, I think, just really ignorant.
We want to be called, yet special. You're an apostle. And we want to hear that. We want identity. Yeah. We want to be known for something we're good at or called or qualified.
It's true. But your identity, you know, our identity is in Christ. It's not in a position that we make up for ourselves.
Oh, praise the Lord. That was great, Graham. That's all the time we have today. This is the first part of a two-part series of Live with Graham Cook. Graham Cook, a man of God that's been called out of Southampton, England, to serve in the United States, where he serves in Vacaville, California.
You know, I got prophetic words in 1974.
Oh, man.
From four different people, four different continents, all saying the same thing, that one day I'd be living and working in America. In fact, that I would go to America to kill a religious dragon and wake a sleeping giant.
As I stood and I looked at the sky, there I saw such a wondrous light. It reminded me of a star I had landed, and you gave me, yes, you gave me, well, you gave me peace of mind. So I fell down on my knees and I prayed that the Lord would end our evil way. And you threw your loving arms around me, and you gave me, yes, you gave me, yes, you gave me peace of mind, peace of mind. You gave me peace of mind. You saved me. Peace of mind. Oh, oh, you gave me. Yes, you gave me peace of mind.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.